On to our main topic for this week now. And recently I was in Johannesburg, South Africa, which is home to the world's richest sources of gold and the world's deepest mines, which have been dug to recover it. But in the course of tunnelling up to 4 kilometres vertically down to recover the precious metal, the miners have also recently struck scientific gold with the discovery of populations of microorganisms thriving in extreme conditions. The temperatures down there are up to 70 degrees Celsius, and the organisms survive by breaking down minerals and even living off the radiation given off by the uranium, which is naturally present in the rock. So, scientists think these organisms might be useful to help us to extract hard-to-reach ore deposits and even to clean up the mine wastes which have been generated when the gold has been processed. I was lucky enough to be allowed to descend into Sibanye-Stillwater's Driefontein mine with one of the scientists doing this work.
My name is Kay Koloya. I'm a researcher at the University of the Free State, working to understand the limits of life in extreme environments. We know that we can find extreme life in places like deep sea vents and water sources, and also with that notion that there could be life on other planets. And where are the places that we feel we can have such conditions? It's in the center of the Earth. And mining activities have provided that kind of opportunity for us to be able to access these places.
What's been discovered already?
In 2010, there was a paper that was published about a worm that was found in fissure water in one of the mines. This is one of the biggest discoveries to date, because before that we've only found bacteria, so that gave an indication that there could be different levels of life in extreme environments.
When we say extreme environments, where were these organisms found growing?
We're talking about in the deep mines, where there's very little nutrients and the temperatures can go as high as 70 degrees Celsius.
So to find complicated life growing at those extreme temperatures, yes, in very nutrient-poor environments, yes, says there's something pretty special about those sorts of organisms.
Yes. It means that these organisms have genes that can help them make the kind of food they need. In the absence of sunlight and other sources, they can actually use the chemicals and the minerals to make their own food and survive these conditions.
So how did they get here?
Well, the theory is that over millions of years ago, as the water gradually seeped down, these microorganisms came down with the water and they became trapped here. And over time, they have been able to adapt to the conditions here.
How do you know that's how it happened and that, for instance, they didn't just arrive with the last rainstorm?
Okay, well, we'll do isotope analysis to determine the age of the water.
And what does that tell you?
Well, that tells us that some of the water samples that we've taken here are millions of years ago, and sometimes even up to billions of years old.
So if the water's that old, the organisms must have been in it for at least that long?
Yes.
You've come down here today. The idea is to collect some samples. How are you doing that?
We have sterile Falcon tubes with us that we always carry, and that's for grab samples. If we find a seepage in the rocks, we can take some of the water samples, and then we culture in the lab and see what's in there.
Because there's some water dripping down over here. Is this of interest?
When we see water coming out of the rock surface like this, it's probably old water that's seeping out. What you see on the surface of the rocks, like the brown color and the black color, we think that's microorganisms that are growing on the rock and also using the nutrients from the water to survive. So over time, they form a film on the rock of different colors, black or brown or white or pink, depending on the kind of nutrients that they're using.
Do you have a lot of contamination from microorganisms brought here by us?
Yes, because there's a lot of human activity, mining activity around here. Then most times we find microorganisms that have come from human activities, even sometimes common microorganisms like E. coli. So we have to be really careful what we say is originally from the mine and what's from the surface.
Should we grab a sample?
Yes, why not?
Get across the railway tracks without falling in the drainage ditch.
So I'm going to open this sterile Falcon tube that I have here. It's about 50 millilitres, and I'm going to scrape some of the water sample from the side and try and scrape some of the brown stuff. Even very little water samples can yield a lot of information about the microorganisms. And with my other tube, I'm going to scrape some of the black color because we think that could be sulfate reducing bacteria. I don't know if you can smell a little bit of hydrogen sulfate. If you come
it does smell a bit sulfurous, yeah. And why do you think the sulfur is important?
Because usually what you find in the gold mines is a lot of pyrites and sulfates as well. And, you know, that's also associated with the gold. So a lot of times we find sulfate-reducing bacteria.
So the bacteria are using the sulfates
as an electron acceptor, yes.
Because they're obviously not able to rely on energy coming from the sun. They have to get their food chemically.
From what's around them, yes. You find some of them use the sulfates, some use the iron as well, and some use perhaps the nitrates. And also sometimes they use the radiation.
Radiation?
Yes, so some of the microorganisms can use the radiation as a source of energy.
What will you now do with that?
This we take back to the lab and we do two types of analysis. One is to see if we can actually culture the microorganisms in there.
Because to grow them?
To grow them,
yes. You have to recreate a gold mine in your laboratory?
We have to recreate the environment here. We're not always successful because these things do not follow the laws of the laboratory. So we go another step further to understand what they are made of using molecular biology techniques.
All right, so as well as trying to grow them, you can then just interrogate them genetically, because sometimes they may not grow, but their DNA will be there nonetheless, and that means you can find them.
Exactly. So we use the DNA profile to reconstruct what's actually in there, to understand all the bacteria or the orders of life that are in the samples.
What are the implications of this discovery?
Well, because of the conditions that we're finding some of these microorganisms in, we are able to use some of these microorganisms for bioremediation purposes.
Cleaning things up.
Cleaning things up, like acid mine drainage and things like that. So also we use them for green technologies, taking away more chemicals and using biological agents. Also, for instance, microorganisms that we find in high temperature areas, it means they are able to produce enzymes that are thermostable.
As the vice president of the company has just pointed out, can you not discover a strain of organism that will eat gold and then poo it out in the right place to make their job a lot easier?
Well, that's some of the research that we're doing. We have microorganisms that can bioaccumulate the gold, and then we can extract the gold from the microorganisms. So as one of them pointed out, that in places where they cannot really reach or are too dangerous, is it possible for us to use microorganisms? That's the next level that we're looking at. Is we do have some bench scale applications of this where we've seen it happen, not just gold, but copper and some other minerals. So taking it to bigger levels and really showing that it can work is what we're looking at now.
Kay Kaloyo from the University of the Free State at Bloemfontein, South Africa. Thank you also to Sibanye-Gold's James Wellsted and his colleagues who allowed me the privileged access to get into their mine at Driefontein. We'll also have a programme episode actually coming up soon about the science of gold mining, and I recorded that while I was down there too. We think that this qualifies us as holders of the world's deepest podcast, but what do you think? If you've got any questions or comments or feedback for us here at The Naked Scientists, you can get in touch by writing to chris@thenakedscientist.com, or you can tweet @nakedscientists.